What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. It is June 24th, and happy Monday to everybody. I know Mondays can be tough, but here you are. You're getting this done. Props to that. By the way, I'm in Philadelphia on Friday. Go to the Xfinity Lounge at 5 p.m. A couple of us are going to the game that night. I would love to see many of you there. It's a lot of fun. It's going to be like around 10 of us, something along those lines. So if you're around Philadelphia, you just want to say hi for a bit, 5 p.m. Eastern time, I will be there. And just send me any sort of message on Twitter. You can email me info@pitcherlist.com, inside the Discord, all that kind of stuff. I would love to just know that you're coming. It's going to be a lot of fun. Pablo Lopez, 8 innings, 14 strikeouts, 0 earned runs against the Athletics. Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, and it's great. It is wonderful. I'm so happy for him. He pretty much was saying that his feel is back. He felt like he got back to his foundations. Things about just getting out on his changeup. This was four-seamer changeup, really dominating, had some good sweepers, and the curve wasn't really there, but that's fine. He's really four-seamer and changeup. As long as those two are working, that's good, and that's what happened here. Lots of whiffs, 10 whiffs on the four-seamer as well. Yeah, yeah, he's back. It's totally possible this is just a one-time thing. Talking to him did not seem that way. So enjoy the Mariners, guys. This is Pablo Lopez. Oh, we're on the path to redemption. I was initially going to lower him after his previous one. However, this is very much of like a signature. He's back. Christopher Sanchez dominated against the Diamondbacks. Really good changeups down. It worked. Everything's cool. Luis Severino, I had a good conversation in playback chat this morning. If you don't know that, those are my office hours. Generally 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Sometimes I go later. Sometimes I start a little bit later. But I'm always there every single morning to do this article and the streaming article. And of course, the video breakdown. And I apologize that I don't answer things in Twitter DMs or Twitter replies in Discord, email. On the website, that is where I do my office hours. So if you have any questions specifically, that is where you can reach out to me. And of course, I do it also during the afternoon and through the evening, essentially on Mondays. I'll be here at 2:30 p.m., generally to about 7 p.m. Eastern time on Mondays as I craft the list. So again, if you have questions, things you want to figure out about my approach, whatever it is, ask any question that you have inside that playback chat, playback.tv/pitcherlist. Those are my office hours. Luis Severino had a good conversation about him. 10 strikeouts in 6 innings, 0 runs against the Cubs. And the thing is, before the start, it was a sub-18% strikeout rate, which is essentially why I've been against it. He is not the man of old. If you think about Severino, you say, oh man, there's that ace upside. It's not there. I know you think, but yesterday, 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, 10 Ks. It's not there. He is not a 22% swing strike rate fastball. This wasn't that kind of pitch. Yes, it was up to 97. That's great. I really don't buy this. The sweeper is helpful. It's good. It's not as good as his old slider. I just don't think that his sinker inside the zone is very good. I really just don't want you to lean too heavily into Severino. That it doesn't mean that you can't start him against bad opponents, but he gets the Astros next. And I don't think that Severino is that kind of guy you need to hold on to for past that, right? I have the list. I have my top 100. And I generally have it so that the bottom 20, 25 are all guys that say, look, if you don't have, are all guys that these are the ones I would start this week as streamers. And if they're not in there, then I don't want them for the next week. I'd rather just have a streaming spot. Honestly, Severino is that. So I wouldn't be surprised if I had Severino off of the list this week because he does get the Astros. And then again, he does get the Nationals after, but you're not starting for the Astros. Like, do you really need to hold on for that? I don't think so. Kyle Freeland, he returned and went against the Nationals. Cool story, bro, I guess, but no. He did have really good command, and that's nice. I'm proud of him for that, but like, you can't trust that yet. Max Scherzer returned from the IL, 5 innings and 57 pitches. That's really amazing. I'm so happy that like Scherzer threw enough strikes to do that and made it worthwhile, even though it was a clear still ill against the Royals. The Royals have been really bad, though, I have to mention. He did get the win because of this. I don't know where to rank Scherzer because this was just 57 pitches. And watching it, I still can't quite figure out Scherzer. Is it just elite command? Not really. He floats some pitches. He has a four-seamer that can be very, very hit. It's like 93 and stuff. Like, I'm very cautious about this. So I kind of want to have Scherzer around like the 40s or so. Something like that. The back end of the Holly. I really feel like Bailey Ober is better than Scherzer, for example. That kind of thing. We'll find out more, of course, this week, and we'll have a better assessment, I think, next Monday. You have Zach Kelly for Boston. This was a bullpen game, so move on. Sonny Gray was throwing a perfect game, and he allowed a solo shot, and that unfortunately ended it in the, I believe, the seventh inning. Could have been the sixth. I can't quite remember off the top of my head. 39% CSW, though. He's looking wonderful, and that's great. Framber Valdez had one of those cherry bomb starts, and it was great. Seven innings, one earned run, six hits, two walks, seven Ks. Guess what? This was against the Orioles. It was kind of funny. When I tuned in for a moment, I was watching it, and I just saw him throw a sinker to a right-hander, get a base hit to right. I'm like, yeah, that's... This is why I hate the sinker. But he worked around it. He had a really good neckbeard approach here with his changeup and curve. And that honestly is like the difference with Framber Valdez. Like, generally he's going to get enough strikes with this sinker. And he's not always going to throw like right down the middle. Like, he's going to be around the edges for the most part. But if he doesn't have his curve and his change going down properly, it's just a battle. They just always expect the sinker, so they know that it's going to fall out of the zone or where it's going to go. And that is why you see all of the cherry bomb stuff with Framber. So if you have Framber, I know you're just going to keep starting him. I just feel like he's a pure cherry bomb, and it's kind of frustrating. Paul Skenes, ace, is getting ace against the Rays, and that's dope and makes us feel dope. Max Fried against the Yankees, and this is why you're an ace, because if you have the ace is going to ace tag, that means you go against all the offenses. You don't think about it. You just do it. Sure, I'll put him at the bottom maybe of tier one, but you're always going to be an auto start. Max Fried against the Yankees got a win. Six innings, one earned run. This is why. Jake Irvin, my gosh. Okay, he had this terrible game, did not have his curveball, and we saw, okay, this is what it looks like when you don't have your curveball. And then he goes into Coors, where his spin is a little bit worse. I was a little bit worried. Six innings, one earned run, three hits, one walk, 10 strikeouts, got a gallows pull of 22 whiffs. And here's the thing. He pulled off the Blake Snell blueprint. That is not actually what Irvin generally does. He throws curveballs well in the zone, and then fastballs and cutters and sinkers just around. Four seamers upstairs, sinkers upstairs, curveballs way down. It was beautiful. Amazing. Amazing Jake Irvin. Like, it's kind of nuts how this is just working, and huge props to him to have this curveball that just destroys right now. Tobias Myers against the Padres. He keeps going. This is what, like four starts of actual production. Five innings, one earned run, five hits, zero walks, and three Ks. But it's weird because I was the guy initially that was like, oh, Tobias Myers or something here. And it was really based on location. I felt like he had this really good IVB four-seamer, which he does. It's all good as far as like extension and shape and everything goes, but it's just not really that hard. And it needs to be, to me, like actually located well. But what's going on here is that Tobias Myers has a changeup that's very reminiscent of like your Drew Thorpe, Michael Wacha, Estrada. And I think over time, he'll throw that more and have more dominance of it. He's throwing that in the zone. That's really mixing up well. Then he has other breakers and stuff. And it's just kind of like this kitchen sink that's working inside the zone. It's messing guys up a bit. It's a Vargas rule now. So here we go. Okay. We have other guys to talk about. Reese Olson, Aaron Civale, Nestor Cortez, Hogan Harris, etc. And we're going to talk about all of that, of course, after this break. Aaron Civale against the Pirates. It was pulled after 61 pitches, and it's really frustrating. His curveball wasn't really there, but not much of a factor. And his cutter was really good. I mean, it was very hot in Pittsburgh. And I think that actually happened to a couple guys. Christopher Sanchez as well was pulled with just, not Christopher Sanchez, I apologize, but there was another one that we're going to get to, I think, that was also really hot. I got to remember which one that was. But very limited here, and whatever, we get the Nationals next. I think you're fine with that one with Civale. Like, it's going to be top of questionable. I just haven't seen the curveball return. Slade Ciccone, three innings pitched, one earned run, five hits, zero walks, and two Ks. Oh, yeah, 46 pitches. Early hook could have been really hot. By the way, thank you so much, Kevin Stoker, on the Phillies broadcast, bringing up CSW, talking about Ciccone. I just think that's so cool to see that stat that came up with years ago. Was it 7 years ago? And just to see that it's now coming into the radio broadcast where they want to explain it to people because they think it's a really good metric. I mean, that's just... Thank you so much, Kevin. Reese Olson against the White Sox got the win. 6.1 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. This was Dancing with the Disco. That is the Tony Disco, Anthony DeSclafani approach of throwing lots of sliders over the plate, and it's a good slider, and it just works. He didn't really have his changeup as much as he used to, but I will take this all day from Reese Olson. And the fact that he's not allowing his four-seamers to get crushed as they have in the past is a very good thing. And really, I say this a lot, when it comes to rookies, or younger pitchers, I love seeing them after their moment of adversity. So you have a good start to the year, and then you struggle, and then after that, you cruise. So that's what we see with Garrett Crochet. This is what we're seeing right now with Reese Olson. And we might be seeing it with Jared Jones. I don't know. But once you get out of it and you return back to your former self, they are stronger for it. They have gone through the bad and they know how to get themselves out of it much better than before. It's what development is. You can't have development without failure. Kyle Tucker against the Marlins went in because we have Luzardo on the IL now. You have Braxton Garrett on the IL now. Like, give everyone on the IL now. Ryan Weathers on the IL. These were like the backup ones. Oh my, it's so rough for the Marlins. I feel so much for them. And it's really frustrating because they were going to deal Luzardo, but now he's 4 to 6 weeks on the IL. You might still be able to get something for him because he'll be back for September, I guess, but it's just a whole mess. And you don't want to go after Kyle Tyler. Nestor Cortez against Atlanta, 7 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 7 Ks. He had a really good day with the cutter, 10 whiffs on that. We're just going to keep rolling with Nestor. I can't decide if he's a Toby or a Holly. He's just kind of there and you're just going to keep starting. Okay, cool. Hogan Harris against the Twins, 6 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. I think he got away with this one. He didn't really have his best changeup. He didn't have anything really dominating. He just threw enough strikes, got a poor quality start. Props to him. He gets the Snakes next. Sure. He's a back-end Toby, in my view there. You have Alec Marsh against the Rangers, 5.2 innings of 3 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. I think he just doesn't do enough for me to go and chase. He gets the Guardians. I'm not really a fan of that. Nick Lodolo, he's a bit of a cherry bomb. There was a report about, I believe Chad was mentioning Andy Blisser. I should have double-checked that one. And maybe that was something that I should have leaned more into. It's very possible I missed that. 4 walks, 3 Ks. The thing about Lodolo is I generally like him. I was really in the thought process of moving away from cherry bomb because four seamers are generally good. Think of them like sinkers, but they do well against both-handedness. Changeups are really effective against right-handers, and they're solid. They're not like a bad number three. Like, generally, it's been there. And then this curve is a devastating breaking ball that we've seen with 10 whiffs in the past on it. But it's also, Lodolo just kind of goes in and out a bit, and he is home run prone in Cincinnati. So just keep that in mind. I think the 4 walks, 3 Ks isn't really indicative of who he is, but he still does have that bit of cherry bomb tendency. Tristan McKenzie against the Jays, 3 innings of 3 runs, and so weird because he had the increased velocity from last start, and he had also curveball whiffs, and what we get, 4 walks and 6 Ks and 74 pitches, and it's just like, yeah, we can't do this, Tristan. Logan Webb against the Cardinals, and I'm going to remove his ace is going to ace tag. I think it's time because 6 innings, 4 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks. I'm happy he got strikeouts. I don't believe that will stick because he did throw more sweepers, but he threw more sweepers more than anything. It's not really sustainable for him. The changeups are what's supposed to work. And honestly, he didn't throw bad changeups, just kind of threw them the bottom of the zone and the Cardinals hit them. And like, this is, he's too susceptible to that. So I think I'm going to be moving him past that tier three. Everyone's going to be like, what? This is ridiculous. This is a volume guy. He has all these strikeouts. He's a 316, 122 whip. But I can't do it, guys. I know 87th percentile, 91 strikeouts, Nick. I should be giving more love for that. Man, I don't know. I feel that Logan Webb is just a, he's not a true ace. And because of that, he should just be like a 30. And for, I think for 15 teamers, he's more valuable. But he just isn't that guy who's going to go 7 innings, 1 run, 10 Ks in a given night. You know, he's going to be a whip problem, and being a whip problem means you can't be an ace. Kevin Gausman, Framber Valdez. I just can't do it. Javier Assad against the Mets, 4.1 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 0 Ks. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? The thing about Javier Assad is that I actually put out a tweet after his last start saying, look, five of his last 9 starts, is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of his last 7 starts have come with at least 7 strikeouts, okay? And what does he do here? 0 strikeouts. Oh, man. I've been back and forth on Assad the entire year. I just thought that was very interesting with him. He doesn't go 6 innings, right? So Assad also just does not have like that pitch that overwhelms. It's a 14% swing strike with curveball, and that's the most swing strikes that he gets. He's been getting a lot of a high put-away rate on his sinker at 23%, which is definitely above average. 16% is the average for that. So, yeah, this is probably coming to an end when it comes to Javier Assad. That said, he gets the Brewers and Phillies next. Winnick, you're about to make it as if like he gets a good matchup. Yeah. This is going to be a wall, I think. It's up to you guys. You want to Vargas rule it, but I feel like you might be able to move on from Javier Assad now. Yusei Kikuchi, though, I'm sticking with it. I know. Some people want to say, Nick, you got to move on. 2 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Gets the Yankees next. Oh, no. So here's the thing. The changeup was banished. Finally. Sliders were back, and they were effective. Finally. Four-seamer. This is always what happens, and I always want to believe it's not the case. Four-seamer was located low. And that stinks because he was so good at locating high four seamers. It was a new skill. And I thought, okay, new skill versus old skill. What do you remember, Nick? When you have a new skill, it goes away when the old skill returns. It's so rare that when the old skill disappears and new skill shows up instead, that the old skill returns and the new skill sticks. And I was really hoping it was going to be the case here with Kikuchi. But when the slider came back, aka the old skill, the new skill of the four-seamer declined. It's just not fair. Ugh. All right. I still believe. I'm believing in Kikuchi. I'm doing it. I know it's silly. I know y'all are like, Nick, please let us move on. You can do whatever you like. Okay? I'm going to hold through the Yankees. Honestly, I might just start him with it. I'm believing. Michael King against the Brewers had a really unfortunate inning. 5 earned runs in that second frame. Stupid bad luck. He got singled out. Whatever, 8 strikeouts, 10 base runners, 6 innings, 5 earned runs. Really, it was one stupid inning. He's still great. Albert Suarez against the Astros. Yeah, 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 10 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. I guess the Rangers next, and I'm not going for that, and that's just how it is. He had really good pitch separation, to be fair, and if that was against a better team, or worse team, rather, better matchup, yeah, Albert Suarez probably would have come through there. Jonathan Cannon against the Tigers, incredibly disappointing. 1 inning, 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, 4 strikeouts. I don't want to drop him. I'm sorry. I feel like Jonathan Canning, what he showed is just so good. And yeah, this was a bad game. The Tigers came out there and they were swinging and they landed more hits and bam, 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 there it is. Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to hold on to Jonathan Canning. I know, you don't want to do that. I get it. But Mike Clevenger might return next week against Rocky Road. Well, if that's the case, if they confirm that, then fine. But it's Rocky Road next. I don't know. I think that he's better than Mike Clevenger. And I think that'd be silly for them to just move on from him at this point. I think Jonathan Cannon should be a guy that sticks around. But whatever, maybe he doesn't. If you want to move on, fine. I feel like I'm still going to be rolling with him for Rocky Road. And last but not least, you have Bryce Miller against the Miami Marlins. 4 innings of 6 earned runs. Very painful. If you guys have followed me in my thoughts about Bryce Miller, you'll know exactly what I'm going to say, which is, hey, look, secondaries are everything. And four-seamers usually there that carries it. I thought he was going to carry this start with his four-seamer against the Marlins, but the four-seamer was bad, so what did he do? Bryce Miller threw sinkers inside the zone and tried to do enough of his secondaries, and guess what? Those are not good enough. It's what happens. So I'm still waiting for Bryce Miller to get that secondary pitch that's going to just steal the show, but meanwhile, the four-seamer should be much better than this. It was bad this one start. It happens. We see this every so often. He goes like 6 runs and 5 runs, and then he's good again. Whatever, we move on. Tomorrow's starting pitchers. We have Garrett Cole, Tarek Skubal, Luis Castillo. Yes, I have Cole as number one, even though he only went about 60 pitches last time. I think he just looks so good. I know it's against the Mets. I'm not scared of the Mets. Garrett Cole is going to be good. He looks great. It's Garrett Cole. And Tarek Skubal gets the fills. Okay. Luis Castillo, Joe Ryan, Ranger Suarez, Manuel Lopez, Seth Lugo, Mackenzie Gore, Hunter Green, yada, yada, yada. You know that. Probable start is Bobby Miller. You might want to make it into auto start. I'm just going to say, like, look, if you feel that he didn't look good against the Rockies, which he wasn't, he wasn't great. And if you feel like you need to see one more start, then fine. Okay? It's the White Sox, though. I'm going to do that. Same with Tyler Anderson against Oakland. I think that's a really solid play. Kevin Gausman gets the Red Sox in Fenway, and he's a little bit of a cherry bomb. You have Hunter Brown, who's looking good against Rocky Road. Mitch Keller is kind of a Vargas one right now in Cincy. You're going to do that. Zach Littell is our stream pick of the day, believe it or not, against the Seattle Mariners. And Littell, honestly, he's been pretty good at doing the dancing of the disco, throwing sliders over the plate. Mariners are pretty bad. That should be pretty good. You have Yu Darvish coming back from the IL against the Nationals. You have Brian Bayo against the Jays. Bayo, better changeup last time. Not fully there, but I think like he's going to take that step forward. Well, Darvish, we don't know how many innings he's going to go. He threw about 3 innings in single A. I don't have data on that one because it was single A. I imagine he's going to be fine for the Nationals. Could go five innings in like 70 pitches and get you a win. Questionable starts here. You have Kyle Gibson against Atlanta, Cole Irvin against the Guardians, Mitch Spence against the Angels. Mitch Spence is almost a streaming option there. He would be it if it weren't for Zach Littell. I think there's something there with cutter slider, but you don't really need to go after that one. The ceiling isn't too high. Andrew Heaney is more of a volatile, high-reward, high-risk play against the Brewers in Milwaukee. Brandon Pfaadt against the Twins. I don't like facing the Twins right now. Pfaadt is not having the command that he had two starts ago. Kyle Hendricks against the Giants. He looked so good with his curveball returning from the IL last time, but I don't know if that's going to repeat again against the same matchup. It just doesn't feel right. Then you have Logan Allen, Yonny Chirinos. This is all do not start here now with Logan Allen against the Orioles. Don't want to do that. Yonny Chirinos, Austin Gomber, Chris Flexen against the Dodgers, David Pearson against the Yankees, and Bryce Wilson against the Texas Rangers. And we don't know who's going for the Giants, but we don't care. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.